When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" Today, a day of days, I think that has to be the question. Who is this? Who is Jesus really? Every week, we've been going through the Sunday readings. As you know, in our tradition, every Sunday has their assigned readings. So we've been going through them. And today's reading from Matthew 21 ends with the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, right? As the King, Hosanna in the highest heaven. But I want to take a moment and I want to read just the next section right after. I think it's going to help us understand what's happening here in this pivotal moment. And it follows, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. And they said to him, 'Do you hear what they are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?'" Those two passages we heard today, taken on their own, are some of the most famous passages, I think, in the Christian tradition. We have a whole day devoted to Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as a king on that donkey. But also, very notably, right after, in Matthew, we have Jesus entering the city and then cleansing the temple. And it's a very... Maybe if you go into church long enough, these readings, they kind of become normal. They're like very, "Oh, this is part of our tradition. This is what we read." But actually, what we just heard today is electric, and it's highly dramatic. It is an intense moment. We have to understand that in Jesus' life and his career as a prophet, as a teacher, and as he's been revealing to himself, God come in the flesh, when people have... many people encounter Jesus and they start sensing who he is. He's always kind of telling them, "Hey, shh, be quiet. Don't tell him yet. Don't say anything. Don't say anything." He's kind of on the periphery, teaching, preaching, healing, God's glory made manifest, but it's kind of in the shadows. And then today, in this pivotal moment, Jesus sits on his donkey in the crowds and they start chanting. But actually, a crucial moment, you know, it's hard not to read the whole Bible when we're talking about Jesus because all of it's relevant. This scene, to the readings that I read today, right before it, the end of chapter 20, we have Jesus, I mean, as he's always doing, teaching his disciples, and then as they're walking towards this critical moment, two blind men come to Jesus and they say, "Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us." And the people actually say, "Hey, be quiet, be silent." They try to shush him, but they don't stay silent. They say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus turns around and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" They want to be healed. Jesus heals them. And then we have the triumphal entry today. And what's notable about the reading right before today is the healing of the men is that, as we've been talking about, that title, Son of David, is pregnant with meaning. In their proper context, they would have understood that to say you're the Son of David, you're the Messiah, the anointed one, the king, it would be to say you are the ultimate king. You are the King of Kings. We're recognizing who you are. And that's why people are telling them to be quiet. That's an outlandish claim to make about anyone. But these blind men are saying about Jesus, and even Jesus himself doesn't correct them. He essentially, when they say it to him, he just turns around and says, "Yes, that's me. What can I do for you?" And then, on the Mount of Olives, he tells his disciples instructions. "Go get that donkey. Go to this town. Arrange this." And they do. Jesus is moving from doing his work on the periphery. Now he's coming forward. He's declaring himself as the king. People are cheering. It's a very exciting moment because for them, this is what they've long waited for. They're under Roman oppression. These people are oppressed. They're looking for their king to restore their nation, to heal what they believe is broken, which is like national autonomy, the lack of being oppressed by a greater power. You're going to reinstall us as a proper people. This is our land. You're going to heal this brokenness. Oh, there's the guy. He's been doing all these miracles. We hear he's raising the dead. He's an important figure. Maybe he's the king. Hosanna! And they're cheering, and it's very exciting for them. But for us as Christians, it's kind of, it's got to feel a little weird. Because today, we have little palm crosses. Hosanna! We're declaring Jesus. And we know that in a few days, all of Jesus' friends are going to desert him. He's going to be illegally arrested. He's going to be lynched on a Roman cross, and he's going to be brutally murdered. And as Christians, we know that more than that, as terrible as that is, spiritually speaking, he's going to take on our sin. He's going to take on our hells on the cross. We see that coming. So it is a little odd for us to be celebratory today, because at the same time, we see the day coming. Good Friday's coming. It's a mixed day. For the people in the readings, they're just excited because they're going to have their kingdom given back to them, right? The problems that they see are going to be healed. Hosanna the king! But as we've been seeing the past few weeks, Jesus' kingship, the healing that he brings, often isn't the way we imagine it to be. And this is going to be the hard one. This is the hard, it's a hard truth to hold, I think. Past few weeks, when looking at all the Old Testament readings, we've been saying the whole Bible is about Jesus. And we come to this moment. And really, the nail has been hitting on the head every Sunday. Today, it has to become clear. We have to answer, who is Jesus? We saw all the stories from Noah, from Abraham, right? All the stories we're seeing how they were all pointing to this one moment. And now we're here at the beginning of Holy Week, and what we have to answer is, who is Jesus? Because the answer to that question will make sense of the last 40 days, well, the last Lenten season. We've been fasting, right? Many of you have been giving up certain things in this period of fasting, or maybe you've also taken some new disciplines on. It's been a sobering time of reflection and repentance, right? The things in our lives that shouldn't be there, the postures of the heart, that we shouldn't live that way. We've talked about those things. But at its foundation, all those issues, all those problems, when you work them all the way to the bottom, really what you have to answer for yourself, to deal with yourself, is this: who is Jesus to you really? You know, here at St. George's, it's a very beautiful church here in Banff, so we do, as you know, many weddings, or at least we get many wedding requests. That's a big part of my job. Answering emails, setting up dates, talking to couples who want to be married here. And I have only four questions that I ask every couple that I talk to. But the central question that I ask every couple, they fill out a form. So they tell me, oh, yeah, I've been baptized, I'm a communicant, I've been attending church for years, various denominations. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus, I love Jesus. And so I sit with him and I say, who is Jesus to you really? Seems like a very basic question. Each of the couple, the bride, the groom, who is Jesus to you? And then they tell me. And I can't tell you how many times people will answer that question. It's always a similar theme. Oh, he's a wonderful teacher. Oh, he's such a great example to me. Well, he had some great teaching. He's a really wonderful prophet. Like all these other prophets that I'm also aware of. What a deep ethical teaching. He must have been what a tremendous philosopher. I mean, the teaching he had. Like the same thing over and over again. But today, we notice that Jesus is showing us that he can be those things, but he's more. He's the king. And he's making it clear. The periphery is done. Now he's entering Jerusalem and he's saying, this is who I am. Who do you say I am? My friends, this is the question that you and I, we're all going to have to answer as we move along Holy Week, and we come to Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. Who is Jesus? And it's easy, if you've been going to church for a while, to say, oh, yeah, Jesus is, he's God, he's King, you know, third part of the Trinity, whatever you want to say. But I'm asking you a probing question here, and this is, I'm not asking Tom right away, but think about this, really deeply reflecting it. During your prayers or devotionals, as we continue to fast, in my life, is it revealed that Jesus is King? In the way that I live my life, in the decisions that I make, is it evident that Jesus is the Lord of my life? That is a pertinent question. It is easy to come every Sunday in his pews, or go to the Bible studies, do our Alpha, do all the things that we're doing here. It's easy to come and not have answered that question, I guess, in truth. Jesus is a King. And he's been doing everything to show who he is. And he's not just a terrestrial king. Remember Transfiguration Sunday? He revealed his glory. He showed that he's God, made God come to us. He's the divine king. There's no dodging that. That's who he says he is. And in effect, what he's saying, if you come to me, which I hope you are, if you come to me, you have to come to Jesus on his terms. This is how Jesus reveals himself. This is who Jesus is. There is no dodging it. He is the divine King. And as we go through this week, my friends, I admonish you, I invite you to consider what that means for your life. Because if Jesus is who he says he is, and he is God, and he is King, then there's no use in treating him like a wise ethical teacher. That would be to miss the mark, right? It would be a fundamental misunderstanding, so you'd be wrong, and then it would dishonor him because it's not who he says he is. Can you imagine me going to, you invite me to your house, you're having a little get-together, a little party, and I show up with Britt, my wife, and say, oh, who's this? I'm like, oh, this is my girlfriend. I think everything would stop. She would just slowly turn to me, and like, you need to repeat that. What did you just say? And she'd be right. Right? She's my wife. There is an understanding. That's the truth of the arrangement. You go to Jesus and you say, who do you think I am? Oh, you're a great teacher. Mm-hmm. What? I am a teacher, but I'm more. Because if we look to the cross, on Good Friday especially, no teacher can die for your sins and heal you from what's really breaking in your heart. No philosopher, no mere prophet, no sage can heal what truly is destroying us from the inside out and actually destroying our world. Only God can do that. That's why God came to the world. And for you to receive and accept his healing properly and receive it, you have to see him for who he is. I can only enjoy, this is, again, the small thing, I can only enjoy the warmth and the affection and the life-giving reality of my relationship with my wife because I recognize who she is and I treat her accordingly. Sometimes, mostly. Right? Jesus, God is also a person, not an abstract principle. God has shown us who he is and we're meant to respond. He's the King. He changes everything. And I'm not a tyrant. He's not a bully. We talked about that. Remember our whole kingship series? I read that last part, to wrap up, I read the last part of the cleansing of the temple, kind of going ahead of our reading, so I wanted to hear it today. Because when we say king, when we say royalty, when we say power, we can conjure all kinds of ideas. But I want you to notice what Jesus did, what he does. After he overturns the tables of those moneylenders, which were, they were preying on, they were predator. They were as predatory situation. We'll talk more about it later, but it wasn't kosher, it wasn't good. They were abusing people with money. He got them out of the temple. He says, this is my house. I'm cleaning it up. Hint, I'm God. Clean that. And then what happens? Some sick come to him and he heals them. I want you to know that in the Old Testament, King David himself had banned the blind and the lame from coming to the temple. They were not allowed. They were cut. Jesus comes to his own house, being God. And he welcomes them and he heals them.
children running around, crying out, Hosanna. He's healing his very house. He's welcoming all of us in, healing. This is the king we follow. He doesn't come with a sword to beat you up and get your taxes. He comes with life and with love to heal that part of you that's hurting and it's broken and that has divorced yourself from God. He's come to bring you back home. That can only happen if you see who he actually is, you admit who he is, and if he is God and King, and you surrender your life to him, all of it, no buts, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, what books you read, the whole thing, all right? The trajectory of your whole life. Now the question is, God, Jesus, how do you want me to live my life? And in that surrender, those who lose their life for my sake will find it, Jesus says. And as you give up your life and give up the control, remove yourself from the center of your life, the narcissism, and you put God in, oh, what healing you'll experience. Oh, what wholeness, psychological, spiritual integration. You'll just become the person God always meant for you to be. This is the journey. And it can start now, today, here, if you accept Jesus as God and King. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for your kindness, for your exquisite attention. God, as often as we live our lives and we don't think about you, we don't refer to you in our decisions, God, as often as we forget you, you do not forget us. But you're always there. You're always right near, right next to us, calling us home, God. I pray for every person in this room right now. I don't know their lives. You know their lives. God, I would pray that you would so fashion our lives that we would have a clarity of your call for us and that we would respond to your invitation of life and love. And God, for all of us, I pray this. And I pray that whatever's in our life, posture of the heart, attitudes, beliefs, whatever it is that's preventing us from trusting you, God, I pray that you kill it. I pray that you remove it. Help us, God, come home to you. You're the King. You're God and King. God, help us to recognize that every day of our lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.